Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome into ABQ Connect today. We have a special guest, Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation. Paul, welcome. Paul's Rio Grande Foundation is all about elections and educating people about what's going on in the political process. Paul, I'm excited to have you today.
Yeah, good to be here, Jim. First time in the studio and on this show. I'm really happy to come and participate.
Well, the Rio Grande Foundation is a research institute dedicated to increasing liberty and prosperity for all of New Mexico citizens. And you do it by informing New Mexicans of the importance of individual freedom, limited government, and economic opportunity. Paul, I'm embarrassed to say I didn't even know about your website until yesterday. I feel like a moron because it's rich. I went on and checked out some of your podcasts, and I am very excited to have you on the program, and I want to start right away by asking you, we have some things on the ballot coming up here on November 5th. It's a local election. And I think that a lot of us won't even understand what we're reading when we're looking at that ballot. And of course, next year, about the same time, November 3rd, we're going to have an election for the President of the United States. And it's something that I want to start preparing people now. And let's start with the ballot. How's the ballot formed and how's that put together?
Yeah, well, just to be clear before we get started, we're a nonpartisan organization, as you alluded to. We focus on issues of limited government, individual liberty, and right now we are in early voting for City of Albuquerque and around the state elections that are happening in local communities. And first and foremost, there has been a lot of change just in terms of this issue of the ballot itself. Not just the ballot, but the elections themselves and when they are held. Folks who vote regularly may recall that, you know, mostly it was February, maybe early March, when you would have school board elections, school bond elections, and you'd have city elections. For example, Mayor Tim Keller was elected in October, although there was a runoff that wound up a month later in November. So, but the ballot was voted on by everybody in October, and then they had to come back in November. Now, in terms of the ballot itself, you have some initiatives. Initiative is when a group of citizens gets together and collects signatures and puts something on the ballot. That is a common process here in Albuquerque. Unfortunately, the initiative that's on the ballot this time around is something we're going to talk about, and it's got a lot of issues with it. But that's the only one of those. Then you have bond measures. City Council puts on debt. They have a requirement that voters have a final say on debt that we take on as a city, as taxpayers. Mm-hmm. So there's several of those, I think 10 or so. You have renewal potentially of a gross receipts tax. That happens as well. And then, of course, you have your usual candidates. And, you know, candidates are the area that I talk the least about because we have to be nonpartisan, but a lot of the issues and the philosophies around what we're voting on, that is kind of the sweet spot, if you will, the strike zone, since we're heading into the World Series here tonight, baseball. That's where we kind of hit our pitches in that middle strike zone on the big issues we're voting on.
Well, Paul, what I like about this is you like to have some fun with this topic, but it also is extremely serious. I mean, the issues that we have before us as a state and as a country are ever creating stress, if I could understate it that way. Paul, are you one of the people that believes that Democrats and Republicans can work together and govern our country?
I do think they can. Right now, there is a group in charge in New Mexico that is kind of what I would call progressive, which harkens back to Woodrow Wilson and a long time ago in this country, but very desirous of a strong and active government that has an active day-to-day role in a lot of our lives. And I think a lot of traditional Democrats in New Mexico and Republicans, conservatives, libertarians, other folks have not been used to that kind of progressive aspect in governance. And this election is really one of the first referendums we as voters will have on the progressive tack that our elected officials are trying to take this state and this city.
So I want to emphasize that right now, even though the election date is November 5th, you can go out right now to a polling place and vote.
Exactly.
And some of those hours vary a little bit, but I know, for example, I live in Corrales. They have a near the Senior Citizen Center. You can go by there and vote. Early voting, I think, is all through next week. And it's a very convenient way to do it. There's hardly any lines, if at all. You can walk right up to the polling place and vote. And the purpose of our program today, and then we're going to have you again on November 4th, is to go over the issues. And again, the Rio Grande Foundation, if you want to get information about Paul's organization, Paul Gessing is the president of the Rio Grande Foundation, you can go to Rio Grande, G-R-A-N-D-E, foundation.org. And you can access constitutional criminal justice topics, economy, education, the legislature, energy, environment, healthcare, local government, open government, public comments and testimony. These are all part of the records that you put together as part of your research group.
You got it.
And it's a ton of information. There's even information about tax and budget, transportation, and I'm a retired banker, Paul, so I'm always interested in how the numbers work. And there's always some non-specific specifics when politicians start talking about numbers, and that's both sides of the aisle.
Absolutely.
And that's not the way bankers look at financial statements. We want to know what the income is, we want to know what the expenses are, and we want to know what the net operating income is so we can make a decision whether they can afford it. I'm baffled every day that politics don't run exactly the same way. Why aren't we, as a primary policy, required to spend less money than we have in the bank?
Well, government is organized. You know, the founding fathers did say that there was a role for government. They also had a lot of negative things to say about government, kind of being famously like fire. You know, fire can definitely help heat your house and keep you warm on a cold winter's night, which are coming pretty soon here to our fair city. But, you know, that same fire that warms your family can also consume the entire house if it's allowed to get out of its purpose, as so far as you want to keep it in that specific contained area. And, you know, I think that's really the difficulty of government. And it's one of the challenges everywhere, but especially here in New Mexico, and we focus on New Mexico state and local, and the mentality of too many folks in New Mexico is that government is here to save them, it's here to benefit them, not that it should be strictly limited and that it should be restrained, and that we, acting by ourselves, the private sector, citizens engaged in voluntary activities, that's what's supposed to drive our state forward, our city forward, et cetera. And we've gotten away from that.
Well, and again, the dependence on government is been brought up as a topic in New Mexico for a long time because we have certain military installations. We have national laboratories here. Those are all wonderful job providers. They have a great mission in helping defend our country. But sometimes the lines get blurred in that a lot of people are seeking government jobs and so they can get the pay and the benefits, and it sounds like to me take as much time off as possible. And in some ways, that is costing America a lot of money.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the federal government's role in New Mexico is not limited to those labs and kind of things that you can at least argue are core functions of government. We also have a huge welfare population, too many people relying on Uncle Sam for their day-to-day benefits. And it's not good for their mentality, their brain, or their soul in terms of sitting at home and kind of relying on government largesse. And we also have a lot of federal lands under in New Mexico here, and it's questionable whether they do a great job of managing those lands. I mean, I know we're going to ultimately talk about some of the stuff in the city election, but we're going to talk kind of broad philosophical terms, and this whole idea that the judge at the federal level put the kibosh on people going on federal lands, National Forest Service, and harvesting timber. Yeah, they did get an exemption for those traditional gathering activities, but forest management now has been completely tossed aside by an environmental group and a judge conspiring with because we have all these federal lands, and it's just not healthy for us, we the citizens of New Mexico, to have to go to Washington to kiss the ring, to go lobby and do everything that we have to do just to figure out how we're going to use our lands. It's not a great situation. And
you know, being a person, I'm a native New Mexican, and I have been in forests around this state actually gathering wood that has fallen and dead, cutting it up, removing it from the forest floor, burning it in the fireplace, all legal, all correct, and actually making the forest more healthy. And
exactly.
I am absolutely 100% positive that whoever passed this legislation now prohibiting it has never been in the forest, has never done any of that, and doesn't realize how it endangers these very beautiful pieces of real estate that are in this state. They are absolutely gorgeous, and they're now being endangered because the fire danger is going to increase
if it lasts a long time. You're absolutely right. So it's one of many, many different issues that we face here in New Mexico.
Well, when we come back, Paul, we're going to get focused on the ballot that everybody can vote on now through November 5th. So with Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation, we'll be back with more right after these messages.
Quality, experience, personal service. Dom Garcia Realty, placing the interest of others first.
So we weren't ready to sell our home, but we did need to move. So we needed to find a realtor who also did property management. One of the things that was important to us, to my husband and I, is that we started putting our money where our mouth was and hiring someone who is a believer, hiring someone who is a Christian. It was maybe a week, that he came over to our house, toured it, and got the contract signed. I would say overall, Dom was efficient. He was available, quick, easy. I didn't have to worry about a thing.
We are a full-service broker that includes working with buyers and sellers, renting, leasing, management, whether residential or commercial.
Dom Garcia Realty, 899-4644, 899-4644.
Se habla español.
Here's Rob West with a MoneyWise Minute.
If you're scouting the job market and trying to set yourself apart from the thousands of others who are doing the same, I have a suggestion. Become bilingual. According to CareerBuilder.com, a third of all managers look twice at any applicant who speaks a second language. Why? Because it's a global economy now, and companies are looking to set themselves apart from their competitors. If you can speak a second language, that brings great value to the company. Being able to speak Spanish is a huge resume enhancer. Russian is growing in importance, as are the Asian languages. Knowing a second language also indicates you're intelligent, forward-thinking, and want to expand your knowledge base. Now, what company wouldn't want an employee like that?
Your money and your life belong to God. Learn to manage them both well when you visit MoneyWise.org, MoneyWise.org.
Listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
It is my pleasure to have Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation, in studio with me this afternoon on ABQ Connect. Thank you for joining us, Paul. You were very gracious. I just got in touch with you yesterday, and I have spent a good 4 or 5 hours on your website reading things and signing up. So you, if you're interested, you can learn a lot about politics in our state by going to Rio Grande, that is RIOGRANDE, Foundation, FOUNDATION.org. And there is a plethora of information Paul has put together. Paul, is this research you're having to do with a staff? You've got a bunch of people helping you or volunteers? How do you guys operate?
We have a small staff, just a couple folks. We have some interns that work on a sporadic basis. We hire professional researchers at times when we don't have the capacity internally in order to carry out the specific projects and research. In terms of media, though, and you know, I think given the situation in Santa Fe, especially politically, you know, our effort is driven towards educating New Mexicans, educating that loyal opposition to try to put a break on out of control government spending to try to educate people why we need to do certain things with this massive oil and gas surplus, for example, that we have floating around our state, $1 billion coming into the 2020 legislative session, which kicks off in January. And we need to reform our tax code. We need to address the public employee pension program and put it on a sound footing. And thirdly, average citizens should get a little bit of a refund or a bonus from some of this money. It shouldn't all go into expanding government programs and growing the size of our already big government in New Mexico. And you know, that's kind of the central focus we have as we move forward. And I appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk about this, the ballot, and you know, all the different things we're doing, because it is a lot. There are so many issues and challenges that we face that it's I have permanent employment for life.
Well, that's good. That's a happy problem. So, Paul, let's start talking about the ballot a little bit. You mentioned there are some initiatives, which that's what we're going to talk about first. You have some elections for certain offices, and then you have some bond issues. That basically makes up the ballot. So I want to start with an initiative that, in my opinion, just reading what I read on the ballot, is a little bit scary, and it's called democracy dollars.
Right.
And it seems, it's very vague from what I read, that these democracy dollars are a way for candidates to raise money for their campaigns. And it seems to be based on the number of residents. It doesn't say where these residents live, how old they are. They could be newborn children for all and it's not tied to the voters that are registered. So I have all kinds of alarms going off in my head. Tell us what these democracy dollars are.
So there's two different ballot issues in this election reform vein. One is to increase public financing for, because that's what we have in Albuquerque elections. We have public financing for candidates. You don't have to accept it if you're a candidate for, say, city council or mayor, but you can. And it's money from us, we the taxpayer. So it's important that we all have that information up front. It's not other money coming in from businesses or some other source. The first component, Proposition 1, is taking that amount from a dollar, where it currently is, to $1.75. So essentially adding more money to candidates' coffers. $1.75, that is per citizen, I think, or voter in the city. So it's just a number of how much money each candidate gets per voter. And that's one, that's a little bit innocuous. Proposition 2 is where the democracy dollars issue comes into play. A democracy dollar is a $25 voucher. Again, $25 worth of your and my tax dollars paid to the city that will somehow be distributed, we don't know, to people, residents. Again, we don't know what a resident is, recently convicted felon, somebody who shouldn't be voting, illegal immigrant, younger than the age of voting. Those are all three issues. But how do you even track what a resident is and get them these democracy dollars? That is a very good question, and nobody has the answer to it. Partially, and I should take a quick step back and say, it's because all you read on the ballot is a summary. There is an ordinance backing that up, but for the first time, at least since I have been aware, the process has been changed from putting the entire ordinance, that's actually the law, to a summary put together by the clerk's office and special interest groups that very narrowly, very quickly summarizes what you're voting on. It doesn't provide, I think, a thorough, good look at what you're actually voting on. But you got these $25 vouchers. Will they be bought and sold? I expect they will. You know, Jim, you've got a $25 voucher. I give you five real dollars for that. You'll probably say, yeah, and give it to me. If you're maybe not scrupulous or not worried right about the system. And unfortunately, there's too many of that kind of people out there. So,
and Paul, the ordinance, I have not read the ordinance, but it sounds like the ordinance is very nonspecific as well.
Yes, it does not specify what qualifies as a resident.
So we vote this in. We approve this Proposition 2. who gets to decide all of the questions that we're raising right now?
Well, presumably, it'll be back in the court of city council. I guess they'll decide, which, you know, they're the ones being voted to election or getting these democracy dollars. It's kind of like setting the fox up in front of the hen house and letting them control the situation because, you know, who is going to have the infrastructure to go out and collect these vouchers? Because that's what you're really going to need. You're going to need, you know, a lot, hundreds and hundreds of $25 vouchers. So you might be an incumbent. So maybe it's the incumbent protection plan. Do we want that? Do we want people who are aligned with certain special interest groups, well-funded organizations that have armies of people to go door to door collecting these democracy dollars? Do we want corruption where people are buying and selling and trading these democracy dollars? There are a lot of major, major issues with regard to this proposal, and I don't know that the advocates have really thought through them, or either they've thought through them and just they don't care.
Well, I'm not a mathematical genius or an economist, but if we have 500,000 people living in our city and there's $25 divvied out per each one, that's $12,500,000.
Yeah.
And that's a scary number. Where's that money coming from?
And there's one city in America that has done this before, and it's Seattle. And they estimated that that $12 million, you have to approximately double it for administrative costs because you do have to deliver these things. You can't go to your local Smith's or Costco or Sam's Club and just walk in and pick up democracy dollars. Somebody has to put them in the mailbox, get them to people. It's really a challenge logistically, record-keeping-wise, and you know where it comes from. It comes from our pockets. It comes from the taxpayers. It comes from the city's budget. And, you know, the final aspect of this is that there's a lot of talk about getting big money out of politics, but there will still be people with money who are outside the system who will not do the public financing, or even if they do the public financing, they will have aligned individuals with lots of money putting money into television ads, newspaper ads, phone calls, radio, all those things to influence the electorate that way. This is not stopped by democracy dollars. There's no way to stop that, because if you really like me and I'm running for city council, Jim, there's no way that I can avoid the First Amendment. You can stop somebody like that from saying, Paul's a really great guy. He's going to solve all of Albuquerque's problems. There's no prohibition on that now or under democracy dollars. So people will come and do that kind of thing, and it's legal. There's no stopping it, but this is just not going to get money out of local politics for sure.
Paul Gessing, our guest this afternoon. He is the president of the Rio Grande Foundation. More with Paul after these messages. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Change is inevitable, like the weather. Is your home's heating system running? Remove dampener, check filter, inspect compartments. Wait, I might have to get up on the roof for all this? Inspect heat changer, shut down furnace, properly clean flame sensor. Wait, how do I do that again? Turn on gas valve and check for leaks. Wait, slow down. Gas leaks? Check pilot assembly tubes. Verify blower compartment door is closed. Ready or not, change is coming. When it does, call Bosque Heating and Cooling at 444-7200. That's 444-7200. We'd love to help.
Here's Joy Junction CEO Alma Reynolds.
Joy Junction has been serving homeless men, women, and children for 33 years now. And it's a dream come true for our late founder Jeremy Reynolds to have our new additional rooms and a separate space for single men and single women. But we need your help. Your generous donation means hope to somebody, and we are here to be that hope.
For more information, go to joyjunction.org. Be that hope. Go to joyjunction.org. Do you have an old clunker sitting there collecting dust, rust, and weeds? Donate it to Joy Junction. We would be glad to take it off your hands. Doesn't matter what condition, running not required. We'll take it. Just contact us. We'll take care of the rest, even towing. Just call 505-217-9586. Your vehicle donation will help us provide housing for Albuquerque's homeless families. Joy Junction, bringing hope to the homeless. Won't you help?
Life insurance is one of those subjects that make people want to change the subject, rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Paul Jones in Albuquerque focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house insurance or life without having to give up college insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Paul Jones in Albuquerque at 505-881-6949 and put the life back in life insurance.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome into ABQ Connect. Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation, in studio with us this afternoon, and we are talking about the ballot for that's actually you can vote on right now. That's for the local election here in Albuquerque, and there's a lot of information about it. We're talking about Proposition 1, which is a funding source for local officials. They're increasing the amount of money that they can receive from the state from $1 to $1.75 per voter. And then Proposition 2 is called Democracy Dollars. And Paul was just explaining that it's a $25 voucher that's somehow tied to the residents, I would assume, of Bernalillo County or Albuquerque.
Right. Albuquerque in this particular case because it's city election.
And so what I did is I put a simple pencil to, and I know we have more than 500,000 residents, but if you multiply 500,000 times $25, you're at 12,500,000. That is an awful lot of money.
You got it. It is.
And that's a tax. That's going to be taxed.
Yeah, it'll have to come from somewhere. There's no money tree out back that Mayor Keller and the city council go and shake. The money that the city uses for these kinds of government programs comes out of one place. It's our pockets. Really quick aside, if folks want to find out where they can go and do early voting, and I highly recommend early voting. You never know. We might get a freak snowstorm or sleet or some kind of weather aberration, or you might have a challenge getting to the polls on election day. Please do early voting. You can Google it at just Albuquerque early voting, or you can go to Bernalillo County, burnco.gov, and find out where the various sites are. And you don't have to go to an early voting site that's right by your house. If you work across town from where you live, you can go to an early voting site near where you work. Or if you're out running an errand in a different part of town, you can find a voting site over there as well. I've already voted myself, and I encourage folks to do that. Early voting runs through the Saturday before the election, so the election's the 5th, and I would be remiss if I knew the date, but I think it's probably like the 1st of November, that last Saturday before the election. And then you can go vote on the 5th itself. So we've got a week and a half here to do early voting, and Saturdays they are available. So if you're out and about on Saturdays, you can get there. But yeah, Democracy Dollars is going to be funded with our tax dollars, is going to lead to, I think, rampant potential issues with the distribution and use of these democracy dollars. It's in our case, the most important issue we're voting on. And you know, there's, of course, candidates on the ballot, candidates for school board in Albuquerque Public Schools, candidates for city council. There are a lot of important races on the ballot here, as well as renewal of a transportation tax on the gross receipts. So you could see the gross receipts potentially go down if you turn down this quarter cent tax renewal. And then there's bonds being debt for various government projects.
Paul, you mentioned, and I want to clarify that Saturday the 2nd will be the last
I was
Saturday
close,
before
not
the
looking
election.
At a calendar.
No, that's okay. You did great. So want to let everybody know that it's not like the old days where you had to have a precinct and you could only go vote in one place and stand in one certain line. Technology now is allowing us to go out and vote pretty conveniently. And early voting, there's just not a lot of lines. If you wait till the 5th, you might have to stand in line for a while, which is that's way more motivation than I need to just go early.
Yeah, it's very quick and convenient. I voted at Holly, the Holly location. It's kind of one street over north from Paseo off of, I-25 up there. There's a lot of shops and restaurants in that Holly Shopping Center, and there happens to be an early voting location as well. It seems like they always find an open space in some of these little strip malls and shopping centers around town. So I'm sure it's an entertaining job to be the person in charge of locking down these early voting sites, because you want to distribute them evenly around town, but you don't have city or government owned locations necessarily to go and locate the early voting. So it's a interesting setup.
Paul, we're going to have you on again on the 4th, the day before the official election day. And in the meantime, what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be looking into how these initiatives get on the ballot, because these are obviously not things that the city council has carefully considered, and somehow they've gotten put on the ballot. And the frustration for me is, and I just want people to be really wary of voting for something that is not even defined what it is. In my opinion, and this is just my opinion, if all this is requiring each of us to pay an additional $25 in tax that is then going to be spent by someone in some way that we have no control over. And I have enough of those taxes already.
Right.
And so
negative campaign ads may be what they use to
they
spend
could.
That money on. Yeah.
And I think all of us are tired of the mudslinging things. And we really, you know, we had Dale Armstrong and Rhiannon Samuel with Vyante, New Mexico. And their purpose is bipartisan as well. And they've identified three things: education, quality of life, and crime, as bipartisan issues they believe we can all agree on, both sides of the aisle. And so they try to encourage accountability. The funny thing is that I don't remember the exact statistics, but there were legislators and state senators that were not showing up to vote.
Right.
Just by having their website, that has increased by 20 to 25%.
Yep.
Just the accountability of making people go to work. Now, I have to tell you, I admire our legislators and our state senators, because they don't get paid. This is not, you know, they're not out there getting rich, unless, of course, something's going on that we
right.
don't know about. And I'm certain that, you know, we all can remember various politicians that have gotten in trouble for those backdoor things, and a couple serving some prison terms in not so recent history. So I bring up that I appreciate the effort that these legislators and state senators give us. I obviously appreciate everything on the federal level. Everybody does. But what I like about what you're doing, and what I like is that you are addressing issues that we ought to be able to get together on. Now, I know there's controversial issues about gun control and abortion and some of these other things that are very controversial. What I think was suggested, and I think you would agree, Steve McKee, our guest yesterday, says, why can't we take the things that we agree upon and address all those things first in our legislative sessions, get some action taken from people of faith, people of no faith, people of every color, every walk of life that are serving our state. We can agree on those things. Let's get that work done, and then let's debate these other things, and maybe we can also come to some resolve on those as well.
Those are a lot of good points, and I certainly agree that there are a lot of things in New Mexico that have a relatively bipartisan bent, crossing philosophical boundaries. You know, four-fifths of life or three-quarters of life, I've heard, is showing up. And in the last election, the only people that really showed up in adequate numbers was kind of this far-left group of progressives. And, you know, politics isn't necessarily about the number of people who believe certain things. It's voting for people, broadly speaking, across a variety of issue areas. Maybe you agree with candidate X who's running against candidate Y, but you agree with him or her on economic policy, but you agree with the other one on abortion and gun control. And how do you choose to vote for those candidates based on the kind of prioritization you see of those issues? And then you have various interest groups that are able to really dominate the political process, getting their candidates out, getting their citizens out, their voters out, and using the media and the kind of system to their advantage, the fundraising system. So I think average people who don't like the way things are going, and You know, our guide star is we do believe in free market. We believe in limited government. But ultimately, we look at what's going on in our other states, the states that neighbor New Mexico. Why are those states seeing population growth, economic growth? Why are they seeing better results across so many different categories, whether it's Arizona, Utah, Colorado, Oklahoma, Texas? Those states are all doing a lot right. Not doing everything right. We can learn from those too, but they are doing a lot right. New Mexico really needs to learn, I think, from the successes, especially in our neighboring states, because they're all doing some things that are really, really good. And there's good things happening in New Mexico, but we have a lot of work to do to get on par with those other states.
Paul Gessing, our guest this afternoon on ABQ Connect. He's the president of the Rio Grande Foundation. More with Paul. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I'm Rob Sneed, general manager at Power Ford. All dealerships have the same incentives. Big rebates, customer cash, we've all got them. The difference is in what the dealership does for you. And at Power Ford, it's all about you. You'll get a better deal and a better experience. And every new vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty, complimentary maintenance, and roadside assistance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. Has God shown you that there are things in your life that need to be changed and fixed? Generally speaking, we all have these things in our lives in one shape or another. The difference is if we take care of them right away or not. In the automotive repair world, I've seen this over and over. Catastrophic failures due to people not fixing small issues with their vehicle right away. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, we take care of all your vehicle's repair and maintenance needs. We are ASE Master Certified and AAA approved. We are located in Rio Rancho on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. And we have free towing to our facility for repairs. Just ask for details. And with those things God is showing you that you need to change and fix, please don't put it off and let these small issues in your life become catastrophic failures. Jesus stands beside you ready to fix all that is broken in you if you will just simply ask him to do so. And he's already paid the price for the repair.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
Hello, friends. My name is Brian Allard. I'm the president of America Praise and New Mexico Praise. I want to invite you and your family to join us at the Albuquerque Convention Center on Saturday, November 2nd at 10 a.m. for a convoy of hope. We would love to partner with you to bless our community with over $1 million worth of goods and services, including free groceries, shoes for kids, haircuts, family portraits, and lunch from Chick-fil-A. No ID required. Visit convoy.org/Albuquerque.
Jericho. Yo, New Mexico, it's Rick from Jericho. Jericho has doubled our greenhouse space, adding more parking and several new lines, including so much Southwest art and decor, you'll have to come more than once to take it all in. And still excelling at being your full-service garden center with trees, shrubs, bedding plants, landscape design, and planting surfaces. So come let our friendly, willing, and able, knowledgeable staff serve you. So thanks again from your gardening angels at Jericho. All your yard and garden needs. JerichoNursery.com. Hoorah!
Listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Coming to you from the Power Ford Studios, Faith Family Ford, Power Ford. Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation, in studio with me. And Paul, I can't let go of Proposition 2. It's called Democracy Dollars. My friend Steve McKee, who you know well, he is the owner of McKee Wallwork Advertising. He's a branding guy. He says anytime you hear a cool name like Democracy Dollars defining a proposition or anything else on a ballot, you ought to really scrutinize it because something slick is going on. And in my opinion, I know you're not allowed to say this, but I look at the lack of information. You mentioned in an earlier segment that Seattle, Washington had tried this Democracy Dollars concept, and we really don't have any data as to whether that's working or not working. And you mentioned just now before the break, we should be looking at the successes other states have and trying to emulate some of those. Why reinvent the wheel? There's other people that will steal good things from us as well. So I really agree with you about that. So proposition two, in my opinion, we need more information. So I'm hoping that people will consider whether they vote for that or not based on having the information adequate to decide whether it's a good thing. And right now, I don't think we have enough information to make that decision.
You got it. Yeah, it really does involve tracking down the actual ordinance and looking through that. We have posted it. I'm going to throw another website at you, errorsofenchantment.com, and like errors as in mistakes. That's our blog that some of it replicates what's at riograndefoundation.org, our main site. But errorsofenchantment.com, we did a few posts about democracy dollars, and there's links to the text itself. Now, one of the changes, remember, we talked about changes in the way our elections are being done here, and we no longer have the full text posted on the ballot. You know, you remember sick leave that was voted on here locally. They had to put the entire text of the sick leave proposal on. It lost by the thinnest of margins, 50.2, I believe, percent of voters turned it down, 49.8 supported it. And everybody on our side drew a pretty big breath of sigh of relief after that went down. But in this case, they are not putting the ballot text on there. It's just a summary. And to go find it, if you go to an early voting station, you should see the text of these measures posted at every booth. But there's one booklet that has all of this information. I myself went over to the early voting at the Holly early voting location off of Paseo, and I knew that they had this book because I know what's going on. And everybody in there's, hey Bob, where's the booklet with all the information? And it was sitting under a stack of other papers. Clearly, nobody else had requested it. Now you can go online and find it. You can go to, like I said, errorsofenchantment.com. You can find the original text on the city's website, cabq.gov. But you've got to know how to look for that information. It can be a little tricky, but you can read through not just democracy dollars and the actual text of what it'll do, but also these bond measures and other ballot issues on the ballot. So, yeah, it is really unfortunate that we're not having a more robust, significant discussion of what democracy dollars would do in this city right now.
And I don't think anybody can have that discussion until we actually understand the parameters of what it will do. So I'm encouraging people, when you don't have the information, don't vote for something like that until you actually do have the information. There's a lot more on the ballot, including some bond issues. Tell us a little bit about those bond issues this year and what we should be thinking about.
Well, there are, like I said, about 10 or 12. One of them is for CNM, Central New Mexico University, the community college here. And bond measures are all about facilities and buildings and, kind of infrastructure projects. That's why you go into debt to fund those kinds of things. You put a lien essentially on future tax revenues that go into those. Now, some of these other projects, I think, are a lot more open to question. For example, the mayor, one of the homeless deals they've got on the ballot specifically for homeless, and, we, of course, want to improve the lives of these people and make sure that the homeless in our city are taken care of. But the mayor is pushing this $14 million centralized facility, central shelter for homeless. Now, we have St. Martin's and all kinds of religiously oriented shelters all around our city.
Joy Junction, Steelbridge, yes.
Is it really worth spending that kind of money on one centrally located? Is central location the best solution? Because first, you're going to have impacts on the neighborhood where any centrally located facilities is at. You go to kind of north downtown. For example, I did 770 radio recently, and I was on 2nd Street right by the interstate. There's a whole park that is literally taken over by homeless people. You cannot take your kids there. You couldn't do anything and enjoy yourself. It is dominated by the homeless. Now, if this new facility solves that problem, that's great. But I am very skeptical. I don't think we've seen the case made that a centralized, very costly $14 million facility is going to solve the problems in ways that the privately run, the religiously run shelters, the current facilities available from the city, that we haven't already tried enough solutions. So I'm very skeptical about that one.
Well, we work really closely with Joy Junction, for an example. And Joy Junction is a nonprofit organization. They receive no government funding. They do have a Christian orientation. But the truth is they just take care of everybody. Doesn't matter what you believe. We have another organization like the Albuquerque Christian Children's Home. They do the same thing. They take care of people of all faiths, all ethnic backgrounds, et cetera. And again, they're not proselytizing. They're just trying to love on them and care for them and meet their needs. And I can tell you, the founder of Joy Junction, for example, Jeremy Reynolds, he has passed away very sadly. But Jeremy was a guy that did it from the ground up. We were part at Calvary of Albuquerque of helping him get the organization started. He started with absolutely nothing. He was relentless. Jeremy was absolutely the most energetic guy I've ever seen as an advocate for the homeless. And Jeremy told me a couple of times, he said, "Jim, we have enough beds right now to take care of the homeless population. The people that you see that are panhandling on corners and things, these folks are almost not wanting to be part of a shelter deal. They don't want the accountability. They have a freedom that they perceive that they can just go do whatever they want." Now, I'm also tied a little bit to the security industry in Albuquerque, so I know a lot of people that own commercial real estate. And homeless people will go onto their properties, and they will go to the bathroom, they will pollute, they will throw everything everywhere. Now, that doesn't always happen. I'm not, you know, trying to categorize it, but there's enough significant vandalism and destruction that happens from people that have no respect for their property that it costs them hundreds of thousands of dollars. And the liability, you know, leaving syringes and things, people that are drug addicted, if a child were to step on one of those needles, it could be one of the worst tragedies of all time. The worst thing I could see is that they'd have to live with some disease or some issue for the rest of their lives because of a simple accident. And these are real serious concerns to the city of Albuquerque. And so I'm personally not all for, let's go build another 4,000 beds that we don't need. Right. If people aren't going to use them, we don't need to spend the money. And again, what is the data that the mayor is basing all of this on?
Those are all excellent points and questions. And I don't think anybody in this country certainly has all of the solutions to the homeless problem. You hear a lot of different issues and a lot of different suggestions from everybody, but I really don't know that $14 million to build a central facility, when, like you said, the beds are available, and I've heard that as well. Almost every night, except some of the coldest of each winter, you might have some jostling, lack of facilities, but just throwing money, throwing a new building at the problem isn't the solution necessarily. So there's another bond measure, something called Metropolitan Redevelopment, $5 million for the rail yards. And this is that big old train repair station mm-hmm. south of town. Mm-hmm. It's now become kind of the idea fix of the political classes in Albuquerque, where they're going to make this some kind of really wonderful facility. It's an old steam engine repair yard that's got all kinds of issues. The consultant said just to prepare the site for anything else will cost $50 to $60 million. Throwing $5 million at a bond measure right now isn't even a down payment on a $50 to $60 million, and I'm sure that's a low ball. This has got serious contamination issues. It's not in the greatest part of Albuquerque, so if you're looking at apartments or some kind of hip storefronts, there's challenges there as well. The transportation tax, let me talk a bit about that. The gross receipts tax has gone up tremendously in recent years. In 1999, we passed a transportation tax. The idea was that we're going to improve our roads, et cetera, our buses. 38% of that transportation tax is dedicated to buses. The buses, you see them, they're empty. That's not good for the environment, folks. It's not good for anybody to run empty buses around town. And yet we divert.
We have empty buses and an empty train.
Yes.
Paul, we've got to take a quick break.
Go ahead,
yes. We've got a short segment left with Paul, so stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
No matter what, your system is going to break.
Are you kidding me?
When it does, give Bosque Heating and Cooling a call.
Perfect.
That's 444-7200. Whatever it is, Bosque is just a call away. 444-7200. Yeah, that's their number. 444-7200. Or visit www.ourhouseishot.com. That's www.ourhouseishot.com.
You found your forever girl, and for the first time, Proverbs 31 makes complete sense. She truly is worth more than rubies. Let John Thomas Jewelers help you find the perfect engagement ring. We have over 2,000 rings in stock to see and try on, the ability to custom make any ring you can dream of, and prices you thought you'd only find online. John Thomas Jewelers at 2440 Louisiana Boulevard on the third floor of the Lewis University building. Stop in and let us know you're a fellow KNKT listener.
Depression. It's invisible, it can be devastating, and it's on the rise in America. Hopelessness is an epidemic, but that can change.
I can't tell you how many times in my life I thought the flood would overwhelm me, but Isaiah promised, if you pass through the waters, they will not overflow you.
That's Ben Corson, and concerning depression, he knows of what he speaks.
Depression is a real malady, and it's a real sickness. You know, we've gone through it, so many of us. But I think that's one of the most toxic sentences we can ever say. I'm going to live with depression. That's a bunch of bunk.
This book, Optimist Fits by Ben Corson, can be a lifeline for you or someone close to you who's struggling with depression. And we want to put it in your hands now. Let Ben Corson take you on his journey through the valley of the shadow and out into the sunshine of hope.
When you kneel before God, God will stand up for you.
Optimist Fits is yours for a generous donation of $35 or more today. Your support helps keep these teachings on air to connect more people to Jesus. So call now to give, 800-922-1888, or give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation, in studio with us this afternoon, and this hour has flown by, Paul. We've been talking about the homeless issues in our city and a proposal that the mayor is working on to put together a bond issue to build a big facility for the homeless. Again, pretty good intentions, but probably not needed based on what we've been talking about.
Yep.
What's the process that really should be happening why aren't there documentation? Why isn't there documentation about, you know, how can we look at it from each side and really make an educated decision about what's best?
Well, that is just a systematic issue, I think, of our elections. You can find a decent amount of that information. I think the League of Women Voters does a pretty good job of putting out information on both sides of the issue, and I would lean on them a little bit for some of that information. They put out a voter guide. You can find it at a lot of the community centers around town, and it's worth checking out. You'll at least see the text, and for a lot of them, the pro and cons on some of those ballot measures. Otherwise, you know, I definitely encourage folks to check out the Rio Grande Foundation's website, the blog, heirsofenchantment.com.
Make sure you give us that website again.
So riograndefoundation.org, you know, all spelled out just like the river, but foundation, like the word, and it's .org. And then heirsofenchantment.com. And we have our podcast as well. So if your ear is not satisfied with this hour of programming, you can go onto the foundation's website, look up podcast. And we did an episode in which we went through the ballot measures and, you know, discussed which ones were probably meriting a passage and which ones we thought had some work to do before they make the case for that particular ballot measure, as well as, you know, candidates and democracy dollars and the whole thing.
Paul, when you start talking about the candidates, and again, not the primary topic that we've had today, but we've got to at least mention them. We can't endorse one or the other, but how do people find out about the candidates? Does the League of Women Voters kind of cover those topics as well?
They do, yeah. You know, for us, we've of course got city council candidates going right now. There's a couple of folks in the kind of the university and downtown area. Isaac Benton and Pat Davis are incumbents. They tend to be pretty hard progressives, but they represent progressive areas of the city. I think the most interesting council race involves the replacement for Brad Winter, who was a longtime city councilor, a Republican, and he's got a handful of folks who are running to replace him. That'll be an interesting one to look at because, we, of course, in the last elections, we've seen a push towards the progressive side of things. Now, is Albuquerque going to kind of take its place alongside Santa Fe as a repository for progressive politics or not? And we're going to know a lot after this election. Also, school board for Albuquerque. I don't think anybody in this city is happy with the way Albuquerque Public Schools is managed. I have a race going on. I live on the west side. Peggy Muller Aragon is the incumbent. She's a critic of Albuquerque Public Schools and the way it's operated. She's being challenged by someone who's supported by the unions, and the unions really tend to dominate the APS situation. There's also $290 million. We haven't even talked about bonds for Albuquerque Public Schools because they got rejected on a big, a tax increase back in January. Now they're coming back with a $290 million bond that's not going to raise taxes, but, do you feel like APS is getting the job done, or do they have work to do? A lot of these big philosophical questions, and we're going to know a lot more about the direction our city's headed in on November the 6th.
I have been involved in the procurement process in bidding on APS jobs and different things, and it's always baffling to me that you go in and you meet all the criteria that is requested in an RFP, a request for proposals, and you come in at the bottom in terms of pricing, you exceed the specification for the products that you're trying to sell, and somehow you don't win the bid. That's always been baffling to me. That's happened to two or three companies that I've worked with. We've also won some bids, and I've actually enjoyed the process of working with the Albuquerque Public Schools. I personally went all the way through APS myself, graduated from high school at El Dorado High School only a couple years ago, so I won't mention how many. El Dorado was actually almost a brand new school when I was there, so that dates me a little bit. But I question what is the money going to, because all of us could basically say we don't trust how the money is being spent. Is that because there's not that much transparency?
Well, that is a good question. We have, a short amount of time, but back in January, we criticized APS and said they needed to look at reforming some aspects of their construction process. They have something called a Davis-Bacon rule that arbitrarily increases the price of building roads and schools, public projects at the state level, by anywhere from 10 to 20%. So you're artificially inflating wages on those projects. We hire brand new architects for each, and have them write up entirely new architect designs anytime they build a new school. We should have modular designs that are kind of off the shelf that you can say, we're going to make it look a little different than the other school down the road, but it's going to have a preordained general design that you don't have to go and hire a brand new architecture firm. We don't need LEED certification. LEED certification, the certification process itself, increases the cost of our schools by anywhere from 5 to 10%. And it doesn't actually do anything for the environment. LEED really isn't about whether a building is efficient or good for the environment. You'll see random rows of bike racks, for example, out front. Well, that's one of the certification checklists. You'll have empty bike racks, but because they exist, because they have HOV parking, they are LEED. So,
Paul Gessing, president of the Rio Grande Foundation, thank you so much. Great information. We're going to see you back here on November 4th before the election. Want to encourage everybody to get out and vote. Thanks for joining us.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.